In 2014, we received more complaints about an ad than we'd ever received in our history, and it's still the kind of UK record for most complaint about ad. It was a rare example because I'm quite hardened to dodgy advertising. It was an ad that I, as a hardened ad regulator, was pretty shocked to see.
It succeeded in being offensive to disabled people and to women who have suffered violence from their partners simultaneously.
We have just heard from Advertising Standards Authority CEO Guy Parker and former chair Lord Christopher Smith discussing an extremely controversial ad which referenced the trial of Oscar Pistorius, a former Paralympic champion who was convicted of killing his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp.
It was an ad by Paddy Power. It featured an Oscar statue, because it was the time of the Oscars. An Oscar statue that had been photoshopped to look like Oscar Pistorius, ha ha ha. And it was the time of the Oscar Pistorius trial, where he was being tried for murder. And the ad was announcing that Paddy Power were opening a market on whether or not he would be found guilty. So the whole kind of idea behind this is pretty offensive. And the ad was offensive and was treating in a very flippant way an issue that involved an innocent woman being murdered.
The number of complaints went off the scale. We were simply being deluged with complaints, and so we did what we very, very rarely would ever do. We banned an ad in advance of then examining it and considering it. Normally, we would do all the consideration, the research, the investigation before considering whether an ad should be banned or not. But this one, it was clearly a lot of people thought it was offensive. So we banned it immediately pending an investigation. And we investigated and we upheld the complaints.
Douglas MacArthur said that you are remembered for the rules you break, whilst Pablo Picasso said you need to learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist. On this episode of the History of Advertising podcast, we are taking a closer look at the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority, the gatekeepers of UK advertising laws and restrictions, who are responsible for making sure that misleading, deceitful, and just plain offensive ads, like the Oscar Pistorius one we just heard about, are kept away from consumers. Here, Guy tells us a little bit more about their work.
We are the UK's advertising regulator of ads that appear in all media, including online, and a lot of the work that we do now is regulating online advertising, including claims that companies make on their own websites and social media space and in their own apps. But we're unusual because we are a self-regulatory system. We were set up by the advertising industry itself in 1961, a year before the ASA got up and running. The work began on creating this system. And we're a very good example, I think, of what people call enlightened self-interest. People that were heavily involved in advertising then and still today recognize that it's in the long-term interest of advertisers and those involved in making and distributing advertising and making money out of advertising. It's in their long-term interest to make sure that standards stay very high, because you get more bang for your buck if people trust and are favorable towards advertising. And it also helps to prevent governments from writing poorly targeted, overbearing legislation that might hamper the ability of companies to respond to societal and technological changes and create ads that people respond to and love.
For many years, the ASA has operated by responding to complaints about ads from the British public. Apparently, as a nation, we're not always quite as demure and polite as our legend would have you believe.
People sometimes paint a picture of British people as being a bit reticent and avoiding confrontation and not wanting to complain. And I think that's probably true face to face, but give them a keyboard and there is no stopping them. And so the ASA has for a long time been the country that has attracted more complaints from members of our public than any other equivalent ad self-regulatory body in the world. Indeed, last year, I think there were 60 odd thousand complaints from European citizens to ad regulatory bodies in Europe, and 35,000 of them were from the UK public to us, over 50%. And that's not because advertising standards are worse in the UK. They're not. In fact, they're probably better than in the vast majority of other countries. It's just because we're at that stage in our development as a mature Western democracy, and people like to complain in the UK and hold companies to account if they think that they've spotted something that shouldn't be happening.
In recent years, however, there has been something of a strategic shift to the way that the ASA runs its business. Lord Christopher Smith is perhaps best known for serving as Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport during Tony Blair's first term. However, from 2007 to 2017, he was, among other things, chairman of the ASA.
We gradually realised that traditionally the ASA had sat and waited for complaints to come in, that we had been an entirely reactive service, that when a member of the public or a competitor company had come forward with a complaint about a particular ad, then we would investigate. And actually, we began to think that this wasn't an ideal way. It was important that we still did respond to individual complaints, and we should never lose that core to the work that we did, but that we ought to be rather more proactive at identifying a sector of advertising where there were issues. We needed to find ways of going into that sector and identifying what the issues were, where the problems were, what the common bad practice was, and how it could be improved.
These issues are sometimes as simple as targeting a particular sector. For instance, broadband ads, which previously had a knack for hiding costs or being terribly misleading about internet speeds. But sometimes they are far more wide-reaching. For instance, in 2019, the ASA introduced a ban on harmful gender stereotypes in ads. And this year, it's introducing a tougher crackdown on gambling ads aimed at children. As Guy explains, keeping up with societal shifts can prove somewhat irksome.
You know, our job as the ad regulator is to try and reflect changes in society. Try not to engineer society. We're not a social engineer. We're trying to reflect society. That's not always easy, in all honesty, if you think about issues like gender stereotyping in advertising. If you think of gender issues, if you think of race and ethnic issues, if you think of trans issues, there's a bit of a culture war going on at the moment in the UK and in quite a lot of other Western democracies. So in truth, it's quite hard to reflect society because society doesn't think in a single way about these sorts of issues. You have to make a decision.
So what does the future of the ASA hold? Guy gave us his thoughts.
Imagine what in 10 years' time people are going to be looking back on as having happened in 2021 with horror. And they will. There will be things that are accepted now in advertising and in media and in society generally. There will be things that are considered to be okay now that in not too many years' time will be considered to be completely taboo. Two big, big challenges that are very much on the agenda for us this year are racial and ethnic stereotyping in advertising and climate change. Racial and ethnic stereotyping, big issue on the back of George Floyd's killing early last year and Black Lives Matters. So that's a very important piece of work. And climate change and the environment, I mean, it doesn't get more important than that. But what does that mean for advertising and for the regulation of advertising? What about ads that, you know, encourage us to replace perfectly good products because this one's newer and it's got some extra functionality? Is that encouraging excessive consumption? I mean, these are difficult questions, and there aren't easy answers to them. And other advertising regulatory bodies in other countries like France, who have gone down this road, haven't found it easy. The French ASA does have and does administer an excessive consumption rule, but it would be the first to admit it's found it hard to know where and how to draw the line. But that line is going to be drawn by someone in the coming years. And the point about advertising self-regulation is that if we're smart and if we're ahead of the curve, and if we have firmly got our responsible hats on, we could be drawing these lines ourselves.
In spite of the changing social and political climate, Lord Smith believes that one fundamental of the ASA will always remain the same.
Advertising is becoming more technically sophisticated, and the ASA has to become technically sophisticated in response. I know they're already doing quite a lot of this, but nothing will substitute for the basic human judgment about whether someone is mis-selling or being offensive in the way in which they are trying to go about selling something. That basic exercise of human judgment will continue to be absolutely at the heart of what the ASA does.
The History of Advertising podcast was presented by Jack Megan Phillips and featured contributions from Guy Parker and Lord Christopher Smith. The programme was produced by Jane Jarvis and Jack Meggett Phillips. To explore their online catalogue and find out more about the History of Advertising Trust and the work they do, go to their website, hatads.org.uk. That's hatads.org.uk.